Blog Talk Radio. There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold.
You're listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen.
Who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes it home.
This is the show where Christians share their walk from darkness down a sometimes long and lonely path to the light of healing and fulfillment through faith.
Seek out the hopeless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see. Take your candle and go light your way.
Right here on Blog Talk Radio. Good morning and welcome to this 22nd episode of Step Into the Light on this Tuesday morning, February 9th. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. On this show, we talk about the shadows that creep across the paths of our lives at one time or another in the form of such difficult circumstances as abuse, divorce, addiction, fear, debt, heartbreak, guilt, loss of loved one, and rejection. Conversely, my guests shed light on those dark times with messages of hope, healing, success, perseverance, faith, and love. Let me tell listeners, first of all, this morning that my guest and I have had a terrible time with technology, so if we all of a sudden disappear, it is something well beyond our control. We were on the board speaking with each other, and suddenly we were both disconnected. I've reconnected my Skype a couple of times, thinking that maybe that would help, so I don't know if there's something going on with Blog Talk or with my internet connection today or whatever. So if we disappear, it's not because we're abandoning you. It's, like I said, beyond our control. I would like to let listeners know where they can find the show again in the event that you can't stay for the entire hour. I have a website, and it is Patty Sheen. I'll spell that for you, PattiSheene.com. There is a link to this show on the very front page of my website. There's also a Blog Talk Radio tab, which has a few pages under it. One of them is the Step Into the Light Show of the Week page. This particular show will be featured for a week up until next Monday. However, if you would like to listen to the show after that period of time, I also have an archive shows page where there is a link to all of the shows that have been broadcast. So there you go. I also would love to invite listeners to come over and like my Step Into the Light Facebook page. I have a Twitter account, which is at Patty Sheen. I invite you to follow me. Don't do a whole lot, but I do have a Step Into the Light board where I put pictures of my guests, and if they have books out or whatever, I put that on there too. Well, this was an exciting week for many people in the state of Colorado because our Broncos went to the Super Bowl and they won the game, and they have, hopefully the 2014 memories are a distant memory now and people will remember our in 2016. It was a lot of fun. You know, folks, I am not a football fan. I will sit and read or work on my computer while my husband watches the game, and I'll look up every once in a while and keep an eye on what the score is. And I can usually tell by the comments from him whether we are winning or losing, so sometimes I don't have to look at the screen. But anyway, yesterday, or Sunday rather, I kept a pretty close eye on it. Of course, a lot of people love the commercials, and I was a little disappointed in them this time. I think the one I enjoyed the most was the one with the young man in the first date when the dad chases him down with his helicopter. I thought that was pretty cool. Halftime show, I have to admit that I fell asleep, and when I woke up, we were about 4 minutes into the third quarter, so I can't even comment much on what went on with the halftime show. But anyway, all in all, it was fun, and I'm glad that we won, and I'm excited for our team, and it's a cool thing. People from other states have said they've never seen the fervor and the passion for a team that Colorado has. Of course, I am excited because right around the corner is my Colorado Rockies season. So we'll talk about that when the time comes. It is time to introduce this morning's guest. Faith Smalling is a poet, a ghostwriter, an illustrator, and a speaker. A pastor's wife for 35 years, her passion is to share the goodness of God through her writing, her speaking, and her illustrations. Even though she has endured her share of loss and heartache, she holds firm to her beliefs and the power of prayer. If you have ever experienced dark times and wonder where God is or if your prayers are even heard, you'll want to stay with us at Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen right here on Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, Faith.
How are you doing, Pat?
Well, I'm doing well, and I'm sure hoping that we can run the whole show without getting disconnected again. That was quite weird.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
I have to make a correction there.
We've been married about 35 years. He's only been in the ministry for 15, going on 16 years now.
Oh, okay. That's my mistake there, Faith, and thank you for correcting that for us. Well, Faith, I love your given name, and it leads me to believe that you probably grew up in a Christian home, and I'm curious to know what kind of childhood memories stand out of your life as a young Christian?
Well, I think the beginnings were with my grandmother, my dad's mother. They were from way down south in Sunflower County, Mississippi, which is almost to Louisiana. And they were the landowners down there. If anybody needed a building somewhere, chances were they had to ask them to put it on it. And so they, many times, were what kept the church going with no songbooks. And they used a caller. If you don't know what that is, it's somebody who calls out the next line of the song just before they finish the line before. Yeah, many people didn't read. So, and that's one reason that memorization in Bible classes is so such a tradition. Because if you can't read, but you can memorize.
Sure.
Isn't that interesting? I think it is anyway.
That is fascinating,
I used to go spend summers with my grandmother, and she lived in the city, the big city up in Memphis. And my mom's parents lived out in the country. Well, I was into reading and drawing and all that kind of thing. And my grandmother came from a long line of Sheffields who were all storytellers, and we would read the story in the Bible, and then she would tell me the story. And when I was very young, I thought that she was telling it to me again because she remembered it, you know, thought she'd been there.
Because she had from personal experience.
But it really,
huh?
it gives you it's like the difference in watching it in black and white to color. You know, like when you watch a movie in black and white, you don't quite get as much as when you watch it in color. And her telling the story that way, she could make me really see David sneaking up on Saul and cutting off the tail of his robe and, you know, so sorry about it. I mean, I could see the whole picture. I can right now. I can hear her sweet voice. She was the one that always took me to Bible school. I would come back knowing 3 psalms by heart and things like that.
Wow, you know, and how blessed you were to have a storyteller in your life like that, Faith, especially at such a young age. Goodness.
Well, that is a Southern tradition, too. Both my parents are Southerners that met when they were in the Air Force. So my mom's from Central Alabama, and my dad from Parchman, Mississippi.
Well, I'll put my plug in for Yay Air Force because my sister was in there. My sister and brother-in-law were in for 20 years, and my husband did 4 years in the Air Force and a lot of his family. So go Air Force.
I grew up in it. So.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Always a new kid at school, you know.
Yeah.
You learn to love wherever you are for what it has to offer.
Sure.
Home is where you are at the moment. Yeah. married in Oki.
Married in Oki.
Yep.
Faith, you did say that your husband has been in pastorship now for about 15 years, 15,
mm-hmm.
16 years.
Right.
So pastors and their families, as you well know, I'm sure, tend to live in a fishbowl. Their behavior in the church,
yes.
The community, their personal life is under constant observation. How does
mm-hmm.
a pastor's family deal with that kind of scrutiny and keep their sanity?
Well, keeping our sanity may be in question, but I've learned to see it as an opportunity to be an example for weaker Christians, newer Christians. Of course, they are watching everything that we do, how we handle situations, how we react to all kinds of events and news and what have you. We may be awakened at 3:00 in the morning that someone's in the emergency room here at our
mm-hmm.
local hospital, and we're
mm-hmm.
up out of the bed and dressed and down there within a few minutes. Or awakened around the same time that somebody has been studying and they've had a kind of a lightning bolt realization that they need to obey the gospel. So we're up at the building calling other people and filling up the baptistry, more like warming up the baptistry.
Mm-hmm. No, that's
so,
neat.
yeah. Somebody calls in the middle of the night, they're pretty serious, you know.
Sure.
And many times afraid to wait any longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
so,
true. I wonder, issues being in a small town like you are? And, of course, I'm in a small town. For our listeners, I'm kind of down the street from Faith, what we call down the street here in southeastern Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
We're about 20 miles away. But, you know, I know sometimes there are issues that come up in a small community and people are very much either in favor of whatever or against whatever. Have you ever encountered a situation where your church becomes divided over it to the point where it's detrimental to your church family?
No, not over anything political.
Good.
Sometimes there will be a doctrinal issue.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in the 50s and 60s, graduated high school in 68, so that gives you a little bit of a time frame.
Sure.
And lived there in northeastern Mississippi in my senior high school days. And, you know, we saw things come and go in church. We don't have, like, a creed book or catechism or anything like that, like some do. We just use the Bible. And so you might call us fundamentalist. But
mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that.
I've seen, you know, things change because of a better understanding of the scriptures.
Right.
Like, I remember when the big discussion everywhere was, should we drink Coca-Cola out of a can?
Really?
That might sound strange to you, but at that time, the only thing that came in a can was beer.
Oh,
and you had to have an opener for it, you know?
Uh-huh.
Hole in it, right? And do you know what
yes.
we call that? A church key. It was a joke.
I
opener
can
for the beer can.
A can opener being called a church key,
yeah.
Oh, how funny.
Down south, it's still called a church key. If you say a can opener, they're going to hand you the one that opens the tomatoes, you know? But so the idea was that if we are supposed to abstain from the appearance of evil, if we're in our front yard drinking a Coke from a can, somebody might think it's a beer, and they know that you're known for being a good church-going Christian, and there you've caused them to fall because of what they've seen. Excuse me.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
that
but is fascinating. That, of course, has changed since then.
Sure.
We went through the smoking thing, where it was kind of ignored, you know. There were cigarette butts on the front steps of the church building. And now, if someone smokes, they don't usually broadcast it. They don't want to smoke till they get away from the building and such like.
Yeah.
But all of us go through changes. I've been through a lot of changes in my life with my faith and just with everyday life as well. You know,
sure.
That my sister passed away. She was 14, I was 15. She passed away 2 days
so
before my 15th birthday.
Oh, my goodness.
She had an osteosarcoma.
Mm-mm-mm.
And they took off her right arm way down into her chest and all of her shoulder and part of her neck.
Oh, my
and
goodness,
she lived about 7 more months. And my other sister and brother and I used to sit in her room and pray, begging God not to let her, don't let her die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And after she passed, I was mad.
I don't
mad
I
at
bet
God.
You were. Sure.
Oh, I was young, so even though I had a strong faith, it was not a faith that understood life as much as an older person would. And I just stomped my foot, balled up my fist, and says I refused to worship a God
mm-hmm.
who will let my little sister die like that. And I was away for quite a few years. I got married several years later. I'm not that. That's an old Southern tradition I don't dwell in. We don't get married at 14, 15 anymore. But I guess I was 18, 19 when I got married the first time. And I had gone back to church by then. And we had a little set of twin boys. And this first husband was not Christian-like. He beat me up several times, one of those times, when I was 7 months pregnant. And my little baby boys didn't live very long, just a few hours. There were all kinds of speculations about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in a frame of mind to turn away from God again. And this was in Moline, Illinois. And I was away from home, away from everybody. As it were, he was in jail at the time. He did a lot of things people shouldn't do, my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And you understand, it's not my present husband I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But that little Jane Lamb Memorial Hospital in Moline, Illinois. It's right by the Mississippi River. And the ladies at this little Baptist church there just took me under their wing. They bought a cemetery plot. They took up a collection and paid for my babies to be buried.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, I've always heard that God has no hands but ours in this world.
Oh, I like that.
And that kind of showed me how much God does care about me, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was in January of 75, and in October, I had a little baby girl, my Joni, and right after, 7 months, when she was 7 months old, and my husband then, he was very high, driving, got drunk also, and that was the end of him, which really, truly,
goodness,
don't feel too sorry for me there. I was 7 months pregnant, and
mm-hmm.
I had a 7-month-old. Can you count to 9? Yeah. and we call that Irish twins when they're 9 months apart. But
that's
so then
funny,
my youngest child was born the following July 4th, 1976. And I had to live in the car. Oh, this is a long story. I'm going to give you just highlights here.
Okay.
This husband was the son of a rich and powerful attorney in Memphis, and he had politicians and judges, et cetera, in his pocket. So when I would try to leave and get away from them, he would find me, and no matter what I did. So I was in a position where I couldn't use my Social Security number to get any kind of aid of any kind because he would find me.
Oh, my gosh.
See? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get
So, because of
anyway,
all the connections he had.
Yeah. Yes, right. And underhanded, dirty, rotten tricks that I don't have time to go into all of it now.
Mm-hmm.
But I was living in my car in Southern California with my two babies. And, you know, I would try not to run the car too much. I was doing just what I could work for cash for. And, of course, in Southern California, they put out produce at the dumpster that is still very, very good. It's just not as pretty. So we were eating
right.
a lot of fruits and vegetables and things, you know.
And what did you do with your little ones when you worked, Faith? How old were they now?
They were, Joni was starting to walk, and John was about 3 months old.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, you know, thank goodness cars used to be bigger than they are now.
And you just had to leave them there for the day?
Uh-uh.
When you went to work?
No. What I did, I was painting grocery store windows, you know, like Big Sale and things like that.
Oh, okay.
I would paint their windows
mm-hmm.
for them.
Yeah.
I did some window arranging. I did a little bit of artwork for the newspaper. And the kids were just wonderful. I could put one in the little swing, one which I kept in the trunk, and the little one in either a walker or a Moses basket when he was very little. And you know, they would, as long as I kept talking to them, they were happy.
They were fine. Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
And people called them my
wow.
little mascots.
Aww.
One day, I started getting nervous because there was a young policeman that really, I could tell he was trying to assess the situation.
Sure.
So one day, he sat me down and made me tell him the story. And as it turned out, he was a member of the Church of Christ there in Southern California where we were. I'd rather not say the exact town, but...
That's understandable.
And he and his wife and the church helped me to get an apartment and get started, you know. So, you know, in a house and like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Then later I was able to get a bigger house, seven
uh-huh.
bedrooms. So the children and I used two bedrooms and I rented out five.
Oh,
and
good
through
idea.
Through the policeman, I was able to make friends with someone of high rank in the Navy at one of the many Navy bases there who could check out people for me. Make sure I wasn't letting a pedophile live in the same house with my children, you know.
Sure.
And that's how I met my current husband, Terry.
Wow. And Faith?
He rented a room from me.
Faith,
mm-hmm.
now that you're up to your current hubby, let's take a break right there.
All
Hold
right.
Hold that thought. Okay.
All right.
We do have a short break here, folks, and it'll give... Faith and I both a chance to regroup here, and it'll give folks a chance to go get a cup of coffee or whatever. Our break runs for about 3.5 minutes, so you can gauge your time away from the show by that, unless, of course, you want to listen to our fantastic ads, which would be fine as well.
Well, sure, they are fantastic.
So we'll be right back. You are listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen on Blog Talk Radio. Be back in about 3.5 minutes. Are you fighting what seems to be a never-ending battle to take off excess pounds? Have you tried diet after diet, resolved to banish the sweets and starches from your life forever, and fervently prayed for willpower? Author Janet K. Brown let God do the fighting for her, and she won with a 95-pound weight loss that she has maintained for close to 20 years. Now, Janet shares the lessons she learned with her devotional entitled Divine Dining, 365 Devotions to Guide You to Healthier Weight and Abundant Wellness. Allow yourself to be guided through your weight journey with these practical and inspirational daily readings grounded in Scripture, illustrated with many of Janet's own experiences, and reinforced with a short prayer. This toolbox for overeaters combines a 12-step approach with a focus on the need for Christ as the center of your struggle. Janet's passion for diet, fitness, and God's Word holds the hope for you to achieve success as you strive to make choices that will lead to lasting lifestyle changes. Divine Dining, 365 Devotions to Guide You to Healthier Weight and Abundant Wellness by Janet K. Brown is available at Penn L. Publishing, Barnes & Noble, and Amazon. Planning a trip to Colorado this year? 80 miles southeast of Pueblo on Highway 50, you'll find the town of Los Animas, where rich early 1900s American history is preserved within the walls of the John W. Rawlings Heritage Center and Museum. Since the opening of the new museum in May of 2012, the Pioneer Historical Society of Bent County is proud of the accomplishments of its all-volunteer team. Exhibits depict life on the plains in the early 1900s through the replication of home and business structures and possessions of such historical figures as John W. and Dorothy Hogue Rawlings, Kit Carson, Ambassador Thompson, and Ken Curtis, who played Festus Hagen on the long-running western Gunsmoke. Artifacts depict the life of the Native American, rancher, and farmer, and showcase tools of such professions as the cobbler, railroad worker, medical professional, and military. The Grand Hall on the second floor includes several quilt exhibits and an independent order of Oddfellows exhibit. The Old Trail Gallery features unique gifts made by local artists and historical publications of the Pioneer Historical Society of Bent County, such as the Bent County Chronicle. The John W. Rawlings Heritage Center and Museum holds a treasure trove of information for any history buff or historical author interested in events that unfolded in southeastern Colorado in the early 1900s. Located at 560 Bent Avenue in Los Animas, the museum is open Tuesday through Saturday, noon to 4 p.m. Cost of admission is $5 for adults, $4 for children, 6 to 12, with free parking available on site. For further information, contact them at 719-456-6066. If you drop by, be sure to tell them Patty Sheen of Step Into the Light sent you. Would you like an ad for your business, new book, or other product broadcast on Step Into the Light? Contact Patty Sheen at patty.sheen@gmail.com. That's patty.sheen@gmail.com. Now it's time to return to our show. Welcome back to Step Into the Light right here on Blog Talk Radio with Patty Sheen. Our guest today is Faith Smalling. Faith is a poet, a ghostwriter, an illustrator, and a speaker, but Faith has also had some incredibly difficult experiences in her life, and she was relating that to us before we went to break. And goodness, Faith, one of the questions that comes to mind as I listen to you talking about your experiences with a very poor marriage and an abusive relationship and a husband who was substance abuse addicted and loss of family members through death and all of these absolutely devastating things that happened in your life. Where was your faith in God at that time? Did you have any? I know you had said that you had fallen away from the church for quite some time, and man, how did you ever get out of that darkness and back to light?
Well, it was kind of dark, and I did feel like that God was not very close, but I felt like it was my fault. I was trying to turn back. You understand, I never lost my faith. I was angry with God.
Right.
I did not believe in him, but I was angry with him. And I'm a stubborn person anyway, you know, but stubborn, steadfast, both two sides of the same coin, right?
Yes.
So, well, it is. But I raised my babies until they were nine all by myself. And I really had decided I was never getting married again. I wasn't going to take that chance again. The other reason is because I wasn't going to have, quote-unquote, uncles coming in and out of the house. And set the wrong example for my children, because mm-hmm. I know what kind of heartache that can lead to as well. But my current husband, Terry, happened to rent a room from me. And the children were about eight then. Their birthday, for part of the year, they're the same age, from October to
sure.
July. My daughter her birthday's 4th of October, and then my son's, John, is his birthday was the 4th of July. So from the 4th of October to the 4th of July, they were the same age. And I remember when they turned 4, John was so mad. When Joni turned 4, he was mad because he thought it should be his turn to be the oldest.
How funny.
But I was still like, you know, the old expression, fake it till you make it. And that's mm-hmm. where my faith was at that time. But I was really starting to come around. And here comes this blue-eyed, blonde sailor, exactly the same age as me, rents a room from me. And, of course, I had him checked out, you know.
Sure.
All that.
You've been through.
Oh, really? I was. That's exactly my state of mind. I wasn't taking any chances that I mm-hmm. didn't have to. And he made friends with the children, took them to see the aircraft carriers and played ball with them and things like that. And then we started being friends. And then he was getting close to time that he either had to get out of the Navy or stay in and go out to sea. And he did not want to go out to sea. He'd been teaching avionics on land for a while, and he just didn't want to go back out to sea. He was from Oklahoma, which was a state at that time I barely was aware of. But I think the important point here is that we had the same religious upbringing, and we were friends first, and decided that I would chance it again and get married. But he had never been married before.
Oh, okay.
And he became the only father that my children ever knew. Joni was never around him. Joni's my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And John is our son, and I do call him our children because he's the only person who's ever helped me raise them.
Sure.
But as things would have it, he made a very good living out of the Navy. We didn't want for anything, and I didn't have to officially work, so I was doing a few things, you know, a few books, a few little bit of decorating, et cetera. And both the kids were graduated from high school, and then Joni got sick.
Oh, no.
Yes. And she had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oh, my.
And she lasted about 18 months. The tumor was already 4 centimeters and had transversed lung tissue from a lymph node that's right on the front of the spine, between the lung and the spine, and it was hit by her heart. So, yeah, but it was already stage 4 when they found it, and we lost her about 2 weeks before her 21st birthday. And
oh, my goodness.
She was planning her wedding, and we found out she was that sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of just, Terry kept saying, I can't go back anymore. He was working in American Airlines. I just can't go back. Middle management, right? He was writing mm-hmm. course material for people to work on the avionics system of the airplane. So even though his dad did think he ran the whole company. Yeah, you know how dads are, right? But I kept saying, well, don't. He would say, you know, I'd really like to go to seminary. You know, and he was always sending off for information about this one or that one. And then he kind of settled on Bear Valley, which is in Denver. And he came home one Friday and he says, I just don't know how I could go back on Monday. He was feeling like his job really didn't mean anything, you know, as the whole world is concerned. I said, well, don't then. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Send them a letter. Don't do it. So that's what we did. We sold our house in Tulsa and moved up to Denver, went to school for 2 years. The school costs nothing, but you have to raise $2,000 a month in support.
Okay.
You know, from other Christians, other churches. Our home congregation, which was 10th and Rockford in Tulsa, which is a downtown church, actually the first Church of Christ built in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And they put in $1,500 a month of our $2,000 that we needed. We were supposed to raise, you know, so the rest of it wasn't hard at all. He already knew all the preachers in Oklahoma, so that gives you a leg up.
Oh, sure.
And I was still extremely wounded at that time, even though we had come back to church fully and wholeheartedly. I was pretty wounded, and studying the Bible like that was just, it was exactly what I needed. And the instructors there, especially one, Karen Cantor, her husband, Don Cantor, was preacher here at Lahana years ago before we came. And she was just had such a sweet, sweet spirit that it encouraged me. She never knew it until I told her about a week ago when they visited. But she kept me grounded. In that amount of time, in that time, it took 2 years. It's 4 years of work. We both have to graduate for him to graduate, so we both have quite a bit of puzzle knowledge.
Oh yeah.
And this is our third work in 15 years. So I've got to add too that in 93 my father died. In 96 is when our daughter Joni passed away. Let me tell you a story about our daughter Joni right quick. I was really feeling like God had smacked me upside the head again.
And she was your last child now. She's your last child, Joni is, right?
Well, she was
right.
My oldest
child. Okay, yeah.
We lost John in 09. He was swimming in Skytook Lake, Skytook, Oklahoma. And they were diving off rocks into the water.
Oh, my goodness.
And he didn't come up. And there was no foul play involved. And it's just the way it is. But, boy, it hit me hard.
So you essentially lost all of your kids then, Faith?
All of them, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine the depth of that kind of despair.
Well, the babies were just hours old. And I thought that was, you know, probably the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody.
Yeah.
And then when we lost Joni at age 20, I thought that was probably the worst thing. But then to lose John when he was 32, I think it was 32, and he had a little baby boy, but shortly after John passed away, she remarried, and now she's cut us off.
That's got to be awful.
And she knows it's the only grandchild we will ever have.
Oh, that has got to be awful.
But I had quite a bit of contact with Connor for a while, and I'm real sure that if he's anything like his daddy, it'll come the time when he's a young teenager that he'll get upset, belligerent, and stubborn and come looking for me.
Good. I hope so. I pray so, Faith. How old is he now?
13.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just turned 13. Knowing that no matter what you do, God has a plan, sometimes it's a good thing to know, and sometimes it really doesn't make sense and isn't comforting at all.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what comes after that. After that comes the realization that God is making the same decisions that I would have made if I had the information that he has. He knows
wow.
everything.
Yeah, he does.
What was, what is, and what will be. I don't know that. There's a verse in, I think it's in Philemon. No, I'm sorry, it's not. I'm pretty sure it's in 2 Thessalonians that says the Lord knows how to protect the soul of the righteous and preserve them unto himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads me to think that one or both of them were taken before they could be taken away
yeah.
from God and away from me forever. So I kind of live my life, though, waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Oh, I don't blame you. I can understand that.
Yeah, I'm a little bit, it's like, oh, Terry's 5 minutes later than he usually is. Where, don't get upset. Don't get upset. No.
Yeah.
Okay, stay calm. Oh, he's 6 minutes late. Oh, there he is, every single
sure.
time. And yeah.
Oh, my goodness, Faith.
So I deal with that. but every time he keeps coming back through the door, so... You just thank God for what you have. You thank God for giving you the insight to be able to help other people through, even though I've got to say sometimes people will come in and talk to me about something that to them is a gunshot wound.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about it like it's as horrible as a gunshot wound. But I know what a gunshot wound feels like.
Yes.
4 times I know what a gunshot wound feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And they only have a hangnail, really. But to them,
yeah.
it's the worst thing that ever happened to them. To them, it feels like a gunshot wound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
It's almost like me with a nursing background, Faith. It's almost like the 1 to 10 pain scale.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
the person that says, oh, my pain is a 10, it's so awful. Well, no, if somebody was ripping your arm off, yeah, you'd be,
Right.
So,
I've taken care of people with Alzheimer's and other terminal things, and
uh-huh.
when I'm having to use that pain scale, I also use a different method. I remind them of that movie, The Sands of Iwo Jima,
uh-huh.
where the enemy has hung up that the little Oriental kid that was helping them, and the ship is about to pull out, and these guys are on the dock, and they have him up skinning him to show what happens to people that double cross the enemy, right?
Yes, yes.
And so I remind them of that movie and that scene, and I ask them, now, that would be a 10, and 0 is no pain at all. Where's
mm-hmm.
your pain?
Yeah.
I thought that kind of puts it in a little bit better perspective.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if they've stumped their toe and they thought that was going to kill them, that would be a 10 for them, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Although
yeah.
to that person, it may feel like, I think it's
point.
All relative
yes.
in a way. Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's my
exactly.
point. And, a lot of times, especially to the parent, of a lost child. They don't really see the point of talking to someone who doesn't know that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see the point. And sometimes they if they know that you live in their same neighborhood, metaphorically, you don't have to talk to give them comfort. Sitting with them, holding a hand, a hug, letting them just cry.
Yes.
It's comforting. Yeah.
Yes.
And these people that talk about, oh, the stages of grief, it's been about 4 months, so here's the stage they're in. Nah, don't happen like that. Sorry. You may go through stage 1, 2, up, back to 1, 2, oh, skip to 4, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know there's times when I can talk about it like today, and it's almost like it happened to someone else, but then there's other times that it feels just like it just happened. Just exactly like it just happened.
Yeah.
There's times when I hear a kid in Walmart or something, yeah, or Safeway, and they're going, "Mom, Mom." Oh, it sounds like just one of mine. And I actually turn around,
yeah,
and for that split second, expecting to see their face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I can give you an example, Faith. Mm-hmm. But on a much smaller scale, my dad passed away in 1996 on Valentine's, mm-hmm, Day, no less. And
oh.
I'm a part of a blogging community. My blogging day is the 8th of the month. And I thought, oh, I'll write something about that and memories. And I was relating to a friend of mine what I was going to write. And actually, it was something I had written a long time ago, but I was kind of adapting it to this blog. And here I had read it over 2 or 3 times, but when I started to verbalize it to her, pretty soon, here comes all the tears. And it's been 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
uh-huh.
And yet at other times I could talk about dad to people and say, yeah, you know, my dad passed and he had cancer and this and that. And without it, with a dry eye. But there are times when, boy, it just hits you, and it hits you so hard, and it's so unexpected.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Faith, sadly, our time is winding down really, really fast, as I knew it would.
Would you let me read a short poem?
That's exactly what I was going to say. We did introduce you as a poet and an illustrator, and we've hardly even touched on that. So I would love to have you share one of your works with us, Faith.
I have one right here. It's called One Moment. It goes like this. He gave me a moment, a real slice of time. A moment to seize, in which I could shine. He showed me a door, open briefly, no less. I can use the opportunity, but I must confess, fear has invaded and frozen my mind. So forever is lost, opportunity this time. He gave me a moment in which I could reach out to a lost soul, the gospel to teach. What I do with this moment, how I use his time, how I conquer my fears will forever define the shape of my spirit, the length of my soul, the strength of my honor, the place I will hold in the memory of one moment given to me, the proof of my faith, the way to pathway for me. I'm sorry, the pathway to heaven for me. I'm sorry.
That's, oh, that's
fine. Yeah.
That's beautiful, Faith. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Bookstore. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I have 4 books in the bookstore, one that I'm writing myself that will be out hopefully at the end of the year, and one that I'm illustrating for an author named Tom Wright that will be out very quickly.
Oh, very nice.
Thank you.
And that's
thank
one
you.
Of the questions I had for you, Faith. How do you... what is your, I mean, it's pretty obvious from this poem that you just shared with us, but what are your main themes of your poetry and your illustrations? And if you had 1 or 2 or 3 main themes, what would you say they were in light of all
number one is our relationship with God. Number 2 is addiction, living with an addicted person. Escaping addiction, including homelessness, finding home, you know. And number three would be remembering times of epiphanies, you know, that time when something you've been taught all your life suddenly is internalized. You
yes.
suddenly really get it.
The light bulb comes on.
Three. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I don't have a method as OCD as I, well, I take that back. I'm not really OCD. I'm really CDO, which is kind of like OCD, but the letters are in the right order.
Yes.
So I have a system for everything. I'm very organized, and even having two dogs and two cats in the house. we're big animal people.
Do I need to take lessons from you? Because that's one of my weakest points is organization. Oh, my goodness.
I'm not sure you can give lessons for that. You can organize
no,
them, but if it's not an organized person, won't last very long.
No. I read all these
that's
things
why
with
people
the recommendations
are all different,
that I still
so we help
get
each other.
Yes, we do. Well, Faith, in light of all the heartaches and just absolutely devastating life experiences you've been through, I'm curious to know, of course, I know you through Toastmasters, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but
you
have talked about the power of prayer, and I know this is something that is very close to your heart, and yet, in light of all that you experienced, how has that power of prayer manifested itself for you?
Well, I think it begins with fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God gave the Israelites ritual to teach them things, and we do the same thing in those high mountain days when, you know, our touching God is so limited, when we feel like that it's all snow and rock around us. In those days, we use the ritual to pull us through until we get down to the valley where we can rest in grassy fields and smell flowers and rest by the water, you know. I'm thinking of Psalm 23 right now.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So we have to grab a hold of the real faith out of the ritual. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes,
the ritual
it does.
Carries us through. But in all things, we have to have the desire to make it. I know right after we lost John, he was the one, our son that we lost at 32. Right after we lost John, I really didn't have a desire to make it for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, I had to get out of that. And I'm not one who wallers in things, you know. I think that just makes them a lot longer is to waller in them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So we have to want to get out of it first. In a way, when you lose a child, we can't see that we want to live, and it also seems like that if we go on and enjoy life afterwards, that we're being unfaithful to that one who's gone on. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That,
yes.
You really cannot continue without dishonoring the one that you're missing.
Right.
But going past that, diving into life, seeing things in a way that you can really believe that wasting the rest of your life is the dishonor. not using every day that God gave you after loss is a crime in itself. Each one of us is like a brick, you know?
Sure.
Are you still there? Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm right here.
For a minute.
I'm so intensely listening.
Yeah,
I didn't want to interrupt
right after
you.
This morning. Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Each one of us is made by God like a brick. And we are to build this wall and be a part of this wall that's between good and evil. And if a brick is not doing its part to keep evil back, then it is a hole in the wall instead. And you think how many people God built, each one with a purpose to show the glory of God. From John chapter 9, they asked, the disciples asked God why the blind man was blind.
Exactly what
sinned.
I was just going to mention,
yep.
Faith. We were thinking along the exact same lines, yes.
Oh, well, great minds and all that, you know. But God said each man is born to show the glory of God. So, if you are not showing his glory, if you are not helping to secure that wall between darkness and light, then you're letting the light escape into uselessness, but you're also allowing a little darkness to keep the light from being quite so bright. When Jesus said to his disciples right there early on in his ministry, "You are the salt of the earth, the light of the world," he didn't say you could be the light of the world. He didn't say you should be the light of the world. He said you are the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if we who are supposed to light up the world with the glory of God, if we are not doing that, how dim is the light? How hard is the path to find if those who are supposed to be light for it are not doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Our light is hidden or dimmed or gone out completely. Someone is not able to find the path because of me. I hope I never have to face that reality.
That's very powerful, Faith, and you're absolutely right.
I hope so. Just not been doing things real wrong for a long time.
Oh, my goodness. You know what amazes me? We're down to about a minute and a half now of time left, I know. You and I, of course, met at Toastmasters, and the interesting thing for me is that I can't believe the depth of all that you have been through. When we first met, you know, I found out that you were a writer, that you had done some ghostwriting. Mm-hmm. I found out you did illustrations. I found out you were a pastor's wife, but I had no idea the depth of the experiences that you've had. And I wish we could extend the show for another 45 minutes at least, but we can't do that, unfortunately.
Well, we'll just have to try again, won't we?
We'll just have to have another show. Faith, I cannot thank you enough for coming on today.
Oh, thank
and
you.
I mean, to send out
a thanks to Toastmasters. They have really given me a little buff, you might say, on the brightness of things. I see how to do things a lot better, a lot more efficiency through Toastmasters. And I urge everybody to look up a Toastmasters club near you and check it out.
I agree. You know? They're a wonderful organization.
Oh,
yeah, they
absolutely.
They've helped me a lot as well, and I was hoping we would have more time to talk about that, but we don't. Well, Faith, again, thank you so very much. God bless you.
Thank you, Patty.
And hopefully I will see you one of these Wednesdays here. I can't make it tomorrow. I have an appointment out of town, but hopefully I will see you sometime in February at the meeting. And, again, thank you ever so much, Faith, for sharing the depths of your heart with us. You certainly did that. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Patty, and you have a blessed day.
In closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Folks, come back to us next Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, and we will have another show. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. God bless you all.